Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Ivan, too. Wonderful playing. It's a gift to a church. Thank you. Would you pray with me for a moment? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart here be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus is meeting with his friends, and he's talking to them about leaving them. Although it's still going to be a while. It's still going to be a while. But he's talking about leaving them, and he says, but don't worry. Wait a minute. You know, we've asked you a lot of questions, Jesus. And most of the time we'd like a yes or no, and you give us a story. But now you're saying you're going to leave us. I left all my family behind. And now you're going to leave us. I decided to love you, Jesus, and now you're going to leave us. I started investing my life in what you believed in, and now you're going to leave us. That's what Betty is saying to you, too. And you did. You invested in what she believed in here. And now she's saying, I'm going to leave you. But now in the scripture, he says, I'm going to send a comforter. I don't know if I'm going to call Brad the comforter. But we're going to send another one, sure. But, you know, there is so much change going on in the world. Anxiety in our system is in relation to the amount of change and chaos that's there. And who doesn't come to church for some stability? You know, at the end of 6 days of anxious stuff, to come to church and find there is something stable that I can count on. Something here that is vital to my soul. And so you return each Sunday with the hope of regaining that stability. Because life is not easy. It is very, very difficult. And it's full of loss. You know, I think one of our core fears is the fear of abandonment. You know, since the early on in life, the fear that we would be abandoned. You know, and we use that as parents. I did. You know, our son is playing on the merry-go-round or something like this, and I'll say, it's time to go, and he says, of course, no. You know, duh. And I say, no, it's really time to go. He says, no. And I said, well, I'm going to go. You come with me if you want. And of course, not too long, twaddle, twaddle, he's there. Because he doesn't want to be abandoned. And I'm sorry that I use that technique. I really do. feel sorry for that. It's not helpful because we grow up with that. We all do. And so one of the things that I'm sure that the disciples were feeling is, you're abandoning me. After all this time, I found you and now you're abandoning me. And in essence, Betty's doing the same thing. She has a right to say no, you know. I did. I had the right to say. I did say no. Let's just say the campers were not happy. But it was all right. I still said no. I didn't think it was good for me to do that. But in the case of Betty and Brad, they both had the right to say no. But they didn't. Because they both believed that this was something good for them. Betty perhaps will be going to the church in which she will finally retire. Brad, on the other hand. Now, Brad. No, he's not the comforter. Mm-mm. I think that appointment, and we all kibitz appointments as pastors. We all kibitz them. I told Cheryl Lee, my wife, Brad Larvik's going to go to Highlands. I just felt it. Because Highlands is a place of potential. And that's where Brad needs to be. This is a place of potential. I have seen it grow and develop. And you have a space in which to do that. So I believe, and I've known Brad since he was in adolescence. He came to St. Luke's the year I left. I don't know if there was a combination there, but anyway, I left there, and then he and his family arrived. He grew up in that church, went off to college, went off to seminary, and then when he was ordained, they hired him back. Now that is pretty high praise. Now I don't want to set him up to fail here by raising up to a level of, but every church I've ever worked with as a consultant, they'll say, can you find some young male pastor that you can send to us? Well, duh, you got one. What do you want to do with him? Okay. But it's not Betty and Brad that raises the anxiety. It's the change that they represent in your life. Any change in your life represents a bit of anxiety. Anxiety is a powerful, powerful feeling. And it is a part of the grief process. The grief process. Which I believe has been a gift that God has given us. That helps us recognize who it is that we really love. You know, I'm at an age now where I read the obituaries. You know, it's just, I don't know, I just see if my friends are there, you know, or if my name is there too, you know. What's that phrase? If you wake up and read the obituaries and your name out there, it's a good day, you know. But I read a lot of them, and I don't feel anything because I don't know them. Okay? It's when I see one that I know that I feel something. Or when someone in the family dies. We feel that loss. That's a grief experience. That's powerful. That's a gift of God. And those disciples were starting to grieve the loss of Jesus. When Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter with you. Always be with you. You can always go to that resource. You'll never be alone. Though you will feel alone at times, though you'll feel abandoned, though you'll feel lost and anxious, you're never alone. That's why we come back. That's what draws me back. Every Sunday, every time that I worship or sit down and read the scriptures, to be reminded that, no, Bill, you are never alone. Now, in this grief process, in this anxiety process, There's a gift of God in this process too. It's called the brain. Okay? And if you could think of the brain in three sections. Now, it's not a physiological I'm going to split the brain in 3 seconds. But if you could imagine emotionally, 3 parts of the brain. The smallest part of the brain, maybe 5% of it, is the reptilian part of the brain. It's the limbic system. It's that thing that reacts. It's survival. It doesn't think, it just reacts. Like, for instance, a neighbor of ours had a German shepherd who chased me up a small tree once. Usually it was in the backyard, fenced in. And doggone, it wasn't going to bite. It just wanted to play with me, but I didn't think so. Okay. Now, 30 years later. Okay, 60 years later. When I see a German shepherd, that angst hits me. I remember that dog. I have to think to make sure that I don't react to that dog, you know. And then it became police dogs. And that there was a double bind there too. Are they my helper or not, you know, kind of thing. Well, that reptilian brain, when we get anxious, we can go to that reptilian brain and just, we start to react. We start to survive. We start to blame. We start to deny. We start to do all kinds of things. Now, the second largest part of the brain is the mammalian. That's the place where we bond and we feel and we love. And anger, fear, all those feelings are there. We share both of these with animal life. If you go and watch deer right now, or you watch dogs with puppies, it's all the same. We share those two parts with animal life. And when we feel, if we feel fear, we can go right to this reptilian to survive. That's what badgers do. They'll show others that they're not afraid by looking fierce. Okay. How many times do you see that with people? If I'm feeling scared, I will look more fierce than I don't know. God? Okay, you're back. Did I say something? Okay. But when we go right to that survival, and we start blaming others, and we start denying, and all kinds of things. That's that reptilian. Well, Rabbi Edmund Friedman, I follow a lot of his writings. And one of the things he said is, the largest part of the brain is the image of God. That's the cortex. That's the thinking center. That's the place where we can reason, reflect, rethink. That's where we can take the feeling that we feel and reflect on it. And what is that reflection? That reflection is a part of our faith process. As we reflect on our feelings, if we reflect on the grief or the loss or the anger or the fear, when we reflect on that, we go to the cortex and it becomes a usable feeling. If we don't think about it, we go right to the reptilian. It becomes a damaging feeling. That's why we have sex education for children. So they can think about sex before they have sex. Okay? Duh. Okay? Or that's why we talk about anger management, so that we can think about our anger rather than going to it. Well, Jesus is always encouraging us to get into the cortex. That's why he tells stories. He said, you know, we say, well, what's the best way to live? Well, let me tell you a parable. That was a yes or no question. Okay? But he tells us the parable. And does it have an answer? No. It has a thought process. You have to use your cortex. You cannot simply go, oh, that's the answer. No, there's lots of answers. Because when we get anxious, we start thinking in black and white ways, either or thinking. We start saying, you're right, or I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong. Well, this grief anxiety process that you will be going through, if you didn't go through it, you're crazy. Okay? That's a part of life. And this grief anxiety process you'll be going through in this change May it remind you of the resources that you have all the time. The resource of the Comforter. Whether it's a loss in your family, whether it's separations, whether it's struggles, human struggles, whether it's a feeling of being loved or unloved, whether it's the abandonment that comes to all of us, whatever it is, Jesus said, I want to remind you, there is a Comforter, and it's available to you. And one more thing I want to say about that. He begins to tell this story or talk to his disciples because he says, in a way, this process begins by saying goodbye. You cannot say hello to the next chapter without saying goodbye. That's very, very important. You know, we had a 15-year-old dog that we put down 2 days after Christmas. The whole family was there. You know how dogs become a part of the life. 15 years. She'd been grandchild tested, you know. That was a great loss for all of us. And so we went back home and our neighbor said, you going to get another dog? No. We're still saying goodbye to Bailey. Because if I don't say goodbye to Bailey, then I'm going to find a replacement. And you know that replacement will not sit like Bailey did. Will not be quiet like Bailey was. She will not curl up next to me like Bailey did. Bailey cannot be replaced. So I'm here to say Betty cannot be replaced. Brad is not coming here to replace Betty. Brad is coming as another. Another who will continue the journey of this church. So begin by saying goodbye and welcome the Comforter into your life. That is the resource every day, every hour. In Jesus' name, amen.